Welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour podcast. Pull up a chair and kick up your feet as you get ready to enjoy some of the industry's most entertaining and actionable Dynasty content on the planet. We're talking veterans, rookies, sleepers, and oh yeah, you know the crew has those dad jokes ready for you. So let's not wait any longer and bring on the host or some combination of Doug and Tyler.
Welcome back to the Dynasty Happy Hour. It's the free agent free-for-all frenzy. Friday? No, it's a Wednesday. It's okay. I was trying to get as many Fs as possible without, you know, having to be censored. But yeah, it has been a crazy free agency. I know we tend to say things like that every year, but it is a literally shuffle up and deal at the quarterback position, at the running back position. We obviously have some news at wide receiver and tight end as well. Just a fascinating free agent period. And we're here to talk all about it with my co-host, Tyler Gunthener. Tyler, big news for your teams, Falcons and Vikings. They're like, hey, this quarterback's going here, and like all sorts of exciting things.
So my favorite part of this is a lot of Atlanta fans, they're coming into it very pumped, very excited. But I know what expectations should be. You know, Kirk Cousins is a fine quarterback. He's good.
He'll always get keep us expectations low.
He'll get us to the playoffs. Now, the thing is a lot of, you know, Atlanta Falcons fans that aren't also Vikings fans don't realize, like, hey, this is Kirk Cousins. He's going to have three games where he almost falls apart. And you're like, what is going on? But the nice part is Kirk Cousins is going to help your weapons completely. Like Kyle Pitts. Did you just see the comment? Kyle Pitts said, hey.
Just give me targets.
Yep, just get me targets for your number. And Pitts is probably going back to 84, just a heads up.
You don't think Cousins will just take 12?
Nope. I think Cousins will be 8. Pitts will go to 84, which is what he was in college. So,
also yeah, a traditional tight end number, so I'm okay with that.
Thank you. Thank you. You know how much I did not like Pitts
at 8.
I don't
like the single digits. Like Debo Samuel changing his number to 1, I was like, ugh.
I mean, that's fine. Receiver's fine. We see that, but
it makes him look when a receiver's number one, it makes him look slimmer. So I think it's part of the aesthetic. Like N'Keal Harry was like, I'll do number one because I won't look like a slow turd.
Yeah. And then he's like number 16 or 18 at Minnesota. And then we're like, oh,
look how chunky he got.
It makes so much more sense.
Oh, they put on that extra number.
Yeah.
Yikes.
The extra number weight.
It's like wearing black. It slims you down.
100%. But yeah. This is huge news, and do you just want me to get into it?
Sure, man. I mean, I just want to get there. There is, I made the show sheet this week, and there is no less than like 40 bullet points on this.
Yes.
So let's try and get through as much as we can without going too deep in the weeds. Maybe I'll make like a noise like a woo woo, and we need to move on or something. But yeah, go ahead. I mean, I know you're excited because you're one of your favorite teams. Got a new quarterback, and I think it's the biggest fantasy impact move of the offseason thus far is Kirk Cousins to the Falcons.
100%, and people are sitting there talking about Bijan, like, oh, Bijan, Kirk didn't target the running back that much. I'm pretty sure Ty Chandler himself, who was not known as a pass catcher, had like 5 catches.
Dalvin Cook had 50 catch seasons.
Yes, and that's awesome. Like, that's Bijan. Bijan's going to get his targets. Kyle Pitts. Look at what TJ Hockenson did. They brought in Darnell Mooney, which Kirk Cousins actually recruited. Ooh. So, yeah.
Is he going to be as Jordan Addison, you think? The small speed guy?
There's a good chance. And then, of course, you got Drake London, who, if you have not been listening to us, I have been shouting at the sky. Just shouting at the sky, being like, hey, go trade for Drake London because it can only get better. It's not a run-first scheme. It is a passing scheme that targets the number one receiver. Hey, Cooper Kupp, what can he do? He can travel along the line of scrimmage as a receiver, play every position, the X, Y, and Z. He can play slot. He can do all that. Drake London can do that too. Like that's what Drake London can do. He can play all three. He's going to be the number one target. Drake London, there's a chance he could be a top 5 receiver at the end of,
That would be amazing.
And the funny thing is people are like, oh, Drake London can't do the run after catch. You know who that was set at before? Mike Evans. You know who's been a phenomenal deep threat and, you know, gets 1,000 yards receiving every year.
Yeah, and London's faster than Mike Evans. Here's the thing. London wasn't given the opportunity to give the run after the catch because of the quarterback play.
Oh, 100%. And like the most inaccurate
balls. Just look at the catchable target rate. It's low for Drake London. So.
Oh, and Kyle Pitts was one of the worst.
Yeah, and you bring in a guy like Kirk Cousins who's hyper accurate, throws a good deep ball, like is just a really solid, I would say he's a when healthy, a top 12 quarterback in the league in real football. And in fantasy, he's been a back end QB1. You know, my biggest concern with Cousins is just the Achilles thing. It's off his plant foot, which gives you a lot of your power. I think ultimately he'll be fine. But I mean, it's a little concerning. Obviously, Atlanta wasn't concerned. They're like, hey, Kirk, here's your $100 million. Congrats. You've made almost $400 million in your career. You know, what's wild to me is that Kirk Cousins is still playing football and RG3 hasn't played football in years.
Yeah.
And they were drafted in the same class. That's just wild to me.
And it just came out that Cam Newton is very upset that Atlanta didn't go Justin Fields or Cam Newton. Now, the thing is people are sitting there saying, oh, we should have went Fields.
Nobody wants Cam Newton.
We should have went Fields and stuff. The thing is if this was Arthur Smith, maybe. But this scheme is perfect for Kirk Cousins. It is meant for a quarterback like that. If they didn't get Cousins, to me, they would have traded up to get Drake May. They would have traded up to get a J.J. McCarthy. There's no doubt in my mind. And then they might have gone a different route, like a Gardner Minshew for kind of a bridge. But they overpaid. Yeah, they were a team that needed to. But they had one mission, and that was to go get Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, I mean, Arthur Blank is 80 years old, still has that bitter taste in his mouth from the 2023
Super
Bowl.
Okay, just move on.
But talking about Justin Fields, everyone was stoked to see where Justin Fields is going to go. I just checked my clock here, and he is still a Chicago Bear, and I don't think that's going to change. We're starting to see these dominoes fall in place. Backup quarterbacks are starting to fall in place. Unless it gets to draft day, because I don't think Chicago wants the Justin Fields looks good in practice, so does Caleb type of BS. I don't think they want that. But come draft day, or maybe just after the draft, maybe an injury pops up. I don't know what's going to happen, but I don't think Fields and Caleb can coexist. I don't think that's good for them. So for me, it's going to be like, all right, maybe draft day comes around, and then a team, like, I don't know, like Denver or somebody is like, all right, we'll give you a sixth-round pick just to get him off your roster. And they go, okay. I think the Bears have not handled this properly. I think they probably wanted too much, and now teams are like, no, and then we're just going to wait you out. We've seen this happen in the NFL before. I don't want to say it's collusion, but a lot of times teams have just been like, no, we're just going to wait it out, and like it'll drive the price down for whoever wants him.
Yep, and now it's pretty much like the teams are calling out the Bears like, hey, you know, you're asking for this much, then keep him. Then if you want that, keep him. And draft Marv, like, do that. Maybe trade down. Maybe the Commanders are like, hey, you know, we could have traded for him, but we'll take our chances. And if you want to keep him, we'll trade up.
It would be a shocker if they didn't draft Caleb, but who knows?
Yeah, who knows what the Bears are doing? Like, it's interesting. And Justin Fields, now I saw on X that people are like, well, he's going to be where Trey Lance is. No. Trey Lance did not produce one bit.
Trey Lance was never given the opportunity.
He was all future. Like we're looking at Justin Fields, and he had like a four touchdown game on primetime. He had over 1,000 yards rushing his second year. Like he is a good quarterback. I don't know if he's great, but I think it's the Bears that are definitely doing Justin Fields a disservice here. It's not Justin Fields being a bad quarterback. I actually think it's the Bears, like you said, asking way too much.
Yeah. Are you in Dynasty? I know you just traded Fields in a league this week. If you're holding Fields, are you just holding right now? Or are you trying to sell and you're afraid that it's going to be Trey Lance all over again? Like he's going to go somewhere and just not see the field? Like this is a hard situation to figure out, because if you trade for him, let's say you give up early to mid second in Superflex at this point, and he becomes a starter, you win that deal. If you give up an early to mid second and he's a backup, like, okay, you don't necessarily lose the deal right away. But if he ends up like not really playing at all, like, eek.
I think he will become a starter again. Like, there's too much talent there. He's only 25. He just turned 25. I don't think we're looking at a Trey Lance situation.
I don't think anyone wants to pick up that fifth year option, and I think that's probably part of it.
And honestly, look at Sam Darnold. It took Sam Darnold's contract to disappear for him to actually just keep going and keep going. Gardner Minshew keeps getting chances after chances. So if we're sitting here saying Justin Fields isn't a top 30 starter, like, that's ridiculous. Like, he is. He should be a starting quarterback.
So you're buying at this point.
Yes, but I did have him, and I had the opportunity to trade for Tank Dell straight up. And now I was sitting here thinking to myself, okay, I just kind of want to get out of the situation with
Tank's
this.
Tank's a top 20 wide receiver in Dynasty right now.
Yeah. So, I mean, Tank's probably like 110 maybe in this draft class. You'd probably take Adunze ahead of him.
I would take Adunze.
But after that, maybe 108.
Maybe Brian Thomas.
Yeah. I think I'd rather have Tank Dell over Thomas.
Yeah, landing spot dependent, obviously, but yep. That's with everyone. But yeah,
that's where he's at. Like, people still rank him as a top 10 quarterback in Dynasty just because they believe in the talent. This could completely turn around where, like we talked about, Caleb could be not, like, there could be something with his medicals, and they hang on the Fields, and we're just talking all about this for nothing, and they just stick with Fields at $28 million a year, which isn't crazy, and then they draft Marv, or they trade back and get a haul for this 101. They could get so much for this 101 pick, especially if they just trade back one spot. Washington would have to give up a future first, but they honestly would get Caleb, and I think that's what Washington wants to do. But it's going to be definitely interesting now that all the dominoes have fallen and Justin Fields is still a Bear.
Yep. Let's talk about, so we're just going to go position by position tonight just because I think it's the easiest way to do it. In the format, and then if we talk about players as we go, when it comes to wide receivers, we'll mention it later. But you know, the second biggest signing for me was Russell Wilson getting released by the Denver Broncos, officially designated as a post June 1 cut, and Denver decided to eat more money this year and less next year, which makes sense. I mean, they're not really big spenders in free agency. They went out and signed one of Brandon Jones, a safety from the Dolphins, who I have in an IDP league, so I was happy to see that. They cut Justin Simmons. They've moved some stuff around. So Russell Wilson, a free agent, did not take him long to find a landing spot. He is going to sign with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and why not, right? Yeah. He's going to be on a veteran minimum deal, under $2 million, because Denver's paying him like $36 million this year. This is a brilliant move from a Pittsburgh team that I don't want to say they're a quarterback away. They make the playoffs every year, more or less, with Mike Tomlin. They're like eternally 8-8 or 9-7 or whatever. They've never had a losing season under Tomlin. But I don't think Kenny Pickett is it, right? So you know, everyone's like Mason Rudolph and whatever. But they signed Russell Wilson. He's gone. And I like this fit for Russell Wilson because when I look at what's around him, I see a couple of good, maybe even better than good running backs and Najee Harris and Jalen Warren. We see a good tight end in Pat Freiermuth. We've got a good receiver in George Pickens. And a former Pittsburgh Steeler receiver, Deontay Johnson, is on the move. He got traded to Carolina, so he's going to be a target hog once again like he was in the past with Pittsburgh. So they obviously have an opening at wide receiver. They released Allen Robinson. Not like he was anything anyway. For your deeper dynasty leagues, Calvin Austin maybe becomes a thing.
I got so many notifications. Calvin Austin, now on the trade block. Calvin Austin, now on the trade block.
I like Calvin Austin. I don't know if he's ever going to be a thing, but, I mean, if they draft a receiver.
Second-round receiver. Book it. Like, it's the
in
Steelers.
This class, why does Ladd McConkey seem like a Pittsburgh Steeler?
I was going to say, why does Adonai Mitchell?
Mitchell? Yeah, that seems like another good one, too. But I like this situation for Russ. The offensive line is better than it has been in Pittsburgh, too. So,
and it will get better.
Yeah, so I actually like this for Russ's value. You know, some people have the nerve in the X sphere or Twitter sphere to say Russell Wilson could be out of the league. And I'm like, did you not watch him play last year on a really good Denver team? He played well, I thought, in spots. You know, the year before, Russ was bad. We all know that. But last year, I thought he was pretty good. So him signing in Pittsburgh, I think, has, if there was any situation from a dynasty standpoint for at least to him to maintain his value, I think Pittsburgh was one of the best spots he could have landed in.
Yeah, I mean, they just signed Patrick Queen at linebacker, which is a much needed spot for them to sign. This defense is going to be very good. They got, Dante Jackson in the Deontay deal. They got Dante's. Yes, they got that. They got corner. They'll probably draft more defensive players, but this is
Joey Porter's great.
Like, the thing is if you look at Russ when he was going to the Super Bowl, it was a lot of run heavy and then play action pass and let the defense, you know, turn over the ball, get the ball in scoring position right away, and Russ just makes something happen. That's Russ. That's the Russ we need. Russ needs to realize that he's not going to throw the ball 500, 600 times. He needs to be like 400, maybe close to 500, but low passing attempts, very efficient. That's the Russ we know. That's the Russ we need to get back to. And I think this is the perfect situation for that. And they're paying him $1.25 million. Like, this is a win-win for Pittsburgh.
He's literally out of all the signings of all these quarterbacks, he is the cheapest one.
Yeah, and it says that Kenny Pickett's probably done. Because, well,
he's not going to beat out Russell Wilson for that job.
I've heard is like, oh, Kenny Pickett, you know, he can learn under Russ. Kenny Pickett's going to be like 28 soon. So
he was an older prospect coming in. And rumors, Tim Torch, friend of ours in the chat, says that Tyler Boyd is rumored to go there. Obviously went to Pittsburgh in college, so that would be kind of a reunion of sorts.
That would be a great signing. That's pretty much a Deontay clone type player.
Yeah, like
Deontay Light.
Yeah. All right, other quarterback news. Baker Mayfield resigns with Tampa Bay on a big deal. Actually, when it looks at the market and the way it's pushed out, not a bad deal for Baker and the Tampa Bay Bucks. They re-signed Mike Evans as well on a big deal, 2-year, $52 million deal with a bunch of it guaranteed. So it looks like Tampa's running it back. They're not really making any moves on offense. So their offense looks like it's going to be the exact same. Defense will change a little bit. They traded Carlton Davis, their starting corner, to Detroit. Devin White's a free agent. Doesn't look like he's going to be back. It'll fall from grace for him, unfortunately. But yeah, Baker, just a solid QB2 in Superflex. Nothing's changed here for me. Anything for you, Tyler?
No. I mean, it's kind of where we wanted him to go. He fit so well 100%. With this team last year. I know Canales is gone, but I don't think it was just Canales that really gave Baker the go. It was the offense. It was the team around him. It just fit perfect. So I think Baker will be just fine for the next year or two. And, you know, maybe he gets another big contract at the end of this. And
we'll see. I mean, he's still relatively young. So
he's what, 28?
Yeah.
So we could look at a Jared Goff-esque type situation, but not to the quality of Jared Goff being a quarterback one. Baker could be a solid high-end quarterback two.
And it's wild to me because, you know, Baker, first pick in the draft, has a great rookie year, one of the best rookie years ever from a quarterback. And then kind of falls on his face, goes to Carolina, falls on his face, goes to the Rams, plays really well, then goes to Tampa, and now he gets paid. Like, what a story for Baker Mayfield's career. You don't see this very often in the NFL. So shout out to Baker Mayfield for playing through adversity and playing well and then getting paid. And I think he's going to continue to be a solid NFL quarterback.
Hey, one of the guys we're talking about here soon might be hoping that his stop up here could be that type of career path.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll get to him in a minute. But first, I want to talk to some local news out of New England. Mac Jones.
Sixth round pick
to Jacksonville to back up Trevor Lawrence. He's from the Jacksonville area. So again, a little bit of a homecoming for him. I think this is a good spot for Mac Jones. Not to necessarily learn or anything, but I think Doug Peterson is a good coach. Yeah. And I think, you know, with Mac, he had a really good rookie year. He made the Pro Bowl in his rookie year. He did a terrible gritty at the Pro Bowl. But then the second year when they brought in Matt Patricia and Joe Judge, I think New England just ruined him over the last 2 years. And, you know, it's kind of like we'll talk about Darnold here in a second, seeing ghosts, right? Like, there wasn't those moments with Mac, but he made bad decisions, pressure, I want to see him go somewhere, take a back seat for a year. You know, Trevor Lawrence dinged up last year. He did miss a couple of games for the first time in his career. So maybe Mac gets in there somehow. But I think in the right system, I'm so kind of surprised that the Niners didn't trade for Mac, a sixth round pick. That was a surprise to me.
I'm shocked Minnesota didn't, you know, maybe even
that's another one.
The guy that we were going to talk about, Darnold, have a competition between the two. Like, they're eerily similar.
I mean, Mac is owed like $3 million. They paid Darnold 10.
Yeah, I'm very shocked that Minnesota wasn't in for a sixth round pick. Maybe New England is just kind of doing him a service and be like, hey, go home, enjoy yourself a little bit.
We're not going to play this year.
Mac Jones, I agree. Like, Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks on their podcast were talking like Trevor Lawrence was hurt a ton last year and didn't miss a game. now that there's a 17-game season, probably 18 coming up soon, this is a great spot for him because maybe Trevor needs to sit those games because he looked terrible at the end of the year. Maybe Mac coming in for 3 or 4 games will help Mac himself and Trevor Lawrence in the future. So
Mac just needs the confidence and be surrounded by a good coaching staff.
I agree. And he seems like one of those guys that you could get for a 3rd-round pick. And I think next year or the year after, we're looking at him as a starter in the league again.
I feel like you could get him for like a late 3rd at this point. Like,
oh, 100%.
People are going to be like, yeah. So interesting with Mac. And then we talked about Sam Darnold a little bit. Going to Minnesota, you know, we all thought Minnesota might be a prime landing spot for Justin Fields. I mean, still could be, I guess, now that they're not paying Kirk all that money, but they've spent a lot of money on the defense.
So
they're not going to do interdivisional, is what you're saying?
No, I put out a tweet. I said, Chicago trading Fields to Minnesota is like your wife or significant other allowing you to see your ex 2 times a year.
Unless they're like, Fields isn't good. Here, have him. We'll beat you anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I think honestly that's Fields in Minnesota is like one in Atlanta. It's not a great fit.
Yeah. I think the Vikings are definitely going to be, they pick what, 11th?
They're trading up.
Yeah. I think they're either going to, so there was rumors last year that they had a massive package deal to move up and they,
Anthony Richardson.
And it didn't go, and the Colts were like, no. So Minnesota is not, I don't think, afraid to be aggressive to go and get their guy. Who they trade up with, is it
Drake
one of the
May.
Top? Is it one of the top 3 teams? I don't know. We'll see what happens. Or do they stay at 11 and maybe they go with, you know, McCarthy, who apparently isn't going to be there at this point, it looks like. But, you know, maybe a Bo Nix, Penix. I don't know what they do. But I don't know that they roll with, you know, the Sam Darnold and Jaren Hall as their quarterbacks going into the season. Really interesting because I think that's a spot where if a rookie quarterback goes there, one of these big quarterbacks – we all know their offensive weapons. They went out and signed Aaron Jones after he was released from the Green Bay Packers. He's going to be their starting running back. We all like Ty Chandler. They still have Addison. Obviously, Jefferson is still there. And
maybe.
he'll be there. And then Hawkinson coming back from the ACL. So whatever quarterback drops in there, I even think that's good enough for Sam Darnold to be startable possibly in superflex leagues.
Darnold has not looked good the past 2 years. I know people are like, well, he's still young. It's a great system. When he was in for Shanahan, like, he made some dumb plays still. Like, Darnold, I think, is...
Darnold going to Darnold?
Yes, Darnold's going to Darnold. I really hope they trade up. I really hope they trade up for Drake May or even JJ, because I think that's a good spot for McCarthy. But I think Drake May is still in play for them, and I think that would be a grand slam hit.
I think it's interesting. I'm going to talk about this next group of quarterbacks. Because all of these teams need quarterbacks in the draft. We talked about Minnesota. Gardner Minshew signs a deal with Las Vegas. 2 years, like $16 million or something like that. Yep. Jacoby Brissett signs a 1-year, $8 million deal. To me, these are bridge guys. Like, either one of these guys could easily be a starter at the beginning of the season. You know, the Raiders pick 12th. Maybe they take a quarterback. Maybe they are an aggressive team that moves up. Who knows? They're going to be doing something. I mean, I don't think they have that much faith in Aiden O'Connell, to be honest.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, Gardner Minshew is a serviceable quarterback, as he showed for the Colts last year, taking over for Richardson after he went down with an injury. So he's a serviceable quarterback. So is Jacoby Brissett. Brissett is a guy, I mean, New England drafted him. Now he's come full circle. He's the perfect. I love this signing for New England. I don't think Brissett's anything special. I don't think New England's going to be trying to go to the playoffs this year. But Brissett is the perfect kind of quarterback to work with a rookie. So when they made this move, I was like, oh, they're picking a quarterback at 3. Like, lock it in.
Apparently, they really love Jaden Daniels. That's the rumor. They absolutely love Jaden Daniels.
And now Marcus Mariota signed as a backup with the Washington Commanders. And what do you typically do when you have a backup quarterback? You want it to emulate the kind of play style that your starter does. So maybe Washington likes Jaden Daniels more.
They want their quarterback to be bad.
Mariota's not good.
He's not good.
I mean, he backed up Jalen Hurts last year. Very similar skill set. You know, they can at least run. That's about where their skill set ends. So interesting. All 3 of those teams, there's like, okay, maybe there's a bridge. Maybe Sam Howell gets traded. That's been the rumor now that Mariota's in Washington. I would love that for a team to trade for Sam Howell because he's a 5th-round rookie pick. He's cheap.
I have been sniffing around, Doug.
Oh, I know.
Getting some information.
Fair enough.
I'm zipping my mouth. That's all I can
say. I would
say.
Like to see Sam Howell go to like a Denver or a team like that.
If you're watching YouTube, you may have seen my reaction.
I would like to see that because Jared Stidham, sure.
Apparently, Sean Payton absolutely loves Sam Howell. And it
because
fits their MO.
Because he sees like a Drew Brees like guy.
It fits their MO. He wants somebody who's tough, kind of listens to him, and
not
is a
super
team
tall,
dude.
Fairly
yep,
accurate.
Not super tall, has a birthmark on his cheek. And if not, they will definitely surgically
tattoo one on there.
Yep. Or surgically put one on there.
Surgically put one.
They'll take a birthmark from somebody else.
We need a blotch donor. Donate your blotch in the Denver area. Maximum dollars paid. See it every Sunday.
Give me an ounce of that good stuff.
That good. Yeah. So those are four teams that really signed what could be a bridge quarterback for an impending rookie.
And Justin Fields is out there. Which, yes. Raiders, like, come on, Raiders. Like, put him with Gardner Minshew and let them play around with that. Like, that's perfect. He is a Raider.
So they just did save a ton of money because they cut Jimmy Garoppolo. They cut Hunter Renfrow today.
And switched their car insurance to Geico.
Yep. So, yeah. So they've got money. So we'll see what happens with that. A couple other notable quarterbacks. These are just backup guys. Joe Flacco today signed with the Indianapolis Colts for like $8.5 million a year.
So Anthony Richardson's going to be a bust. That's
good,
what we're saying.
All I got to say is good for Joe Flacco. Off the couch, leads the Browns to the playoffs, gets a deal with $8.5 million to go on a good situation that if he starts some games, like I dig him in that offense a lot, actually. So I like that. And then Jameis, man, we love some Jameis. How about Jameis and Deshaun Watson in the same quarterback room?
I heard somebody today say
Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. He can handle it.
I heard somebody on a podcast today say we need to get Hard Knocks out to Cleveland.
They're not eligible.
I know. Like that would be.
I bet it's going to be New England. Oh no, you can't because they have a new coach.
Yeah.
Is that a thing? Wasn't that one of the parameters?
Yeah, I think so.
Damn it. Next year.
But yeah, I like this for Jameis, and I think it's good for Watson too. Because I know all the down shadow clouds around Watson. Jameis is fun. And I think Jameis will bring that energy to the locker room and maybe rubs off a little bit
on
Deshaun Watson. And maybe, you know, that positive energy rubs off on Deshaun Watson again, and we see Deshaun Watson come out of his shell.
I'm trying really hard not to make a
I know.
Joke.
I'm
going to pass some.
But, okay. I mean, we are 2 years past the, quote-unquote, alleged incident. So maybe time will heal a little bit of the wounds, and we'll be able to see Watson come out of his...
I mean, towards the end of the season, he had a couple of good games before he was out for the season.
His shoulder was messed up bad. People don't realize that.
I just can't get on board with
this. I know.
Even at a cheaper price, but... the last quarterback note we have here is Tyrod Taylor staying at the stadium. He's staying at MetLife. He's just going to play for the Jets now.
Just imagine the, Fresh Prince gif of Will Smith looking around the empty room and him just walking across the stadium to the other locker room.
He's like, oh, cool. This is, I don't have to move. He got paid a pretty decent amount. I'll tell you what, backup quarterbacks got some pretty good money, anywhere from like $8 to $10 million for some of these guys.
Hey, just like Dynasty,
salary cap increase. It's real.
Good for players, good for the NFL. This is what actually the whole $33 million extra they got definitely boosted up this free agent period.
Oh, 100%. And running backs actually got paid again. And speaking of running backs,
that was nice
to see. What a transition. So at running back, the big news, I mean, we're looking at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. There was 11 running backs that were starters for their team last year. All 11 of these guys are on different teams. It's wild to me that the only running back that I saw that got re-signed by his team was D'Ernest Johnson. Everyone else, it was musical chairs at the running back position in –
fun.
I saw it coming, and it stinks because, you know, you had a lot of people that were like, trade for Tajay Spears, trade for this person. And then immediately this B-52 bomber came over your roster. It was like,
Yeah, I mean, first round picks were given up for Tajay Spears. Yep. I'm in a league where we're kind of soft resetting, and I can only keep eight, and Spears was in the eight. Guess what? Spears is outside that eight now, and I'm very happy we did not decide early, because I would have made a huge mistake.
Yeah, it was a very fun musical chairs at running back. We'll start off at the top. The most talented running back of the group, Saquon Barkley, stays in the NFC East, but goes to the Philadelphia Eagles to replace DeAndre Swift. I love this move. Because, DeAndre Swift had a good year last year.
Yeah.
My only concern with Barkley is going to be, with Kelce not there, do they rely on the tush push for 15 Jalen Hurts touchdowns? Or do they, maybe Jalen Hurts goes to like 7 or 8 touchdowns, and Barkley gets those other 7 to 8 touchdowns?
That is actually my thought, because I think they're starting to realize, like, hey, Hurts in the tush push, maybe it's not a great idea to have him in this gigantic pile underneath all these people.
Ask Tank Dell how that worked out.
Yeah, and maybe instead of just putting him under that situation, I don't know, like 8 times a game, have somebody else that can squat 600 pounds, run the ball for a touchdown.
Kenny Gainwell?
I think we're going to see something similar to the tush push, but maybe like have Barkley like 2 feet behind Hurts.
It'll be like the bark in the park or something?
It'll be like they'll just try to get Barkley something. Like maybe Barkley lines up at quarterback a couple times. Like it's the same damn thing.
Can we call it the gnarled Barkley?
That was dumb. Okay. No,
save
this is
dad jokes, please. Don't go.
So Saquon, Philadelphia guy, Philadelphia area. This is a great, great sign. Like if you had Barkley, his value should go up. I think instead of like he's gonna have one of the best offensive lines. I think what we're gonna see is we're seeing the Philadelphia Eagles be like, hey, maybe we need to start running the ball more efficiently.
Maybe we need to start passing it to the running backs more often.
Yeah. And I mean, we saw Hurts kind of adapt that way. Not as much as we'd like, but we're going to see that a lot more. And I think Barkley could be on, you know, the next 3 years, he could have career years. And unfortunately, I think this hurts Devonta Smith and Dallas Goedert. I think AJ Brown.
I'm so far out on Dallas Goedert, it's not even funny. Like,
me too. AJ Brown, I think this is going to become kind of what we saw in Tennessee. It's going
to
be more efficient.
They're going to have to feed him anyway because he's going to bitch about it if they don't.
And there's still a chance he could get traded. Like we're not.
That could be like a draft day shocker.
Yes, because I mean they signed Barkley to a big deal. They signed a bunch of these guys, offensive linemen, defensive linemen to big deals.
They extended Dickerson and.
Yep. Yeah. And so I think we could still see AJ Brown moved. I'm still waiting for Kansas City to make a big splash.
Yeah, we'll see what they do here. You know, it might just be through the draft.
No, Pat Mahomes cleared up $21 million in his contract. So
I saw someone tweet out, like, what about a L'Jarius Sneed for T. Higgins swap? Like,
I mean, that's not bad.
It'd be tough for Cincinnati because, like, they're a competitor. But,
it'd be
like,
tough for any team. Like, no team wants to help the Chiefs. But the thing is if the trade's good enough, they're going to have to be like,
why not, right?
They're going to just have to eat it and be like, oh, yeah. God.
Let's talk about former Philadelphia Eagle now, DeAndre Swift, who gets the award for first free agent after in the tampering period to
sign.
It was
Swift.
Like 12-14. It happened very swiftly. DeAndre Swift to the Chicago Bears, which, you know, I was kind of hoping they were going to roll with Roshan and Khalil Herbert. I like both of those players, but they were like, nah, we're going to blow up this backfield. And, you know, Roshan was a very popular buy low candidate. A lot of people in the dynasty community love Roshan Johnson and what he did at Texas. Khalil Herbert also loved by a lot of people. It wouldn't be surprised if maybe Khalil Herbert gets dealt. Again, he was drafted with the previous regime. I think Khalil Herbert is a very talented running back, and I would love to see him land on one of these teams like the Raiders that didn't make a move at running back, or another team that could use his type of skill set. But at first, I was like, what a headache this is going to be.
No, I completely agree. And I still like Swift. He got paid. He's going to get used.
I've always liked the skill set.
They're going to use him. And for the first time in his career, he kind of stayed healthy. And he was getting like 30 touches a game. Hey, maybe instead of
that massive game at the end of the year.
Like he legit had like 16 touches a game and got hurt almost every single game. Then all of a sudden gets 30 a game and stays healthy. What the hell?
Bizarre world.
So yeah, Swift, it's a great sign for the Bears, but for fantasy, I think this is your get out of jail free card right here. The value goes up. You can use the, hey, you got paid, kind of talk with your trade partner. And I think now is the chance to get out. He will produce as a running back too, but will it be consistent? Maybe, maybe not. And Roshan, yeah, I think that dream is gone.
Special teams and pass blocking.
Yep. He might be a third down back, which is weird because DeAndre Swift is a very good pass catcher. So,
and Khalil Herbert's a serviceable pass catcher as well. So
yeah, maybe they deal Roshan.
Yeah, I mean, who knows?
Hey, and this is your lesson. Fourth round running backs, don't trust. We saw it with Damian Pierce, and we're seeing it with Roshan.
Yeah, I sold DeAndre Swift midseason for the 201, and I'm cool with it.
Yeah.
So I have no problems whatsoever. That should net me a possibly a Trey Benson or, you know,
Ladd McConkey.
Is he even Irish? I don't even know. The other big news, we're going to keep going because this running back one is it's pretty lengthy.
Yeah.
I'm going to put Josh Jacobs to Green Bay because I didn't see this coming. You know, they talked to Aaron Jones. They wanted him to stay, but at a very much reduced price, and they couldn't come eye to eye. AJ Dillon, also a free agent, still not signed. Shocker.
Yeah, weird. You guys told me he was good.
Yeah, right. A Josh Jacobs, Aaron Jones backfield would have sucked for fantasy, but would have been fun for real football. But Aaron Jones gets released. We talked about it earlier. He gets picked up by the Vikings, so he stays in the division. Now he can face Green Bay twice a year. Probably part of the motivation.
P.S. That always works out for the Vikings. I know people are like, oh, going to... No, every single time a Packer goes to the Vikings, it works out. Greg Jennings, Brett Favre. Yeah, it always works out. So...
Yep.
I would look for Aaron Jones to have a massive year.
So Josh Jacobs really, in essence, got a one-year deal. When you look at the way the deal breaks down, it's 1 year, and then there's like a bunch of like club options after that. Very strange.
It's 3 one-year deals is pretty much it.
He signed for, you know what's funny? He signed for 4 for $48 at age 26, which is the same exact thing that Aaron Jones did at age 26. He signed 4 for $48. So the Packers, they got a plan, and they stick to it. I would like to see them draft a running back. I think they probably will, because this class, while it's not filled with top of the line talent, it's pretty deep in terms of like guys.
Yeah.
So I think they'll draft a running back, but Josh Jacobs joins a very exciting offensive group. So I was excited about this signing.
Yep. And rumor has it that Jordan Love, after, because you can't do another contract a year before a year has passed since the last one. And he did it in like May. So once that passes, Jordan Love apparently has a massive contract he's going to sign that puts him at like 48, 50 mil a year. Like, it's going to be a huge deal. They're going to sign him long term. He's going to be their guy. So that's coming, apparently.
And maybe that's why they set up Jacobs that way.
Oh, 100%. Like, they're going to have to wash their money. They cut Bakhtiari. And
they paid Xavier McKinney big money at safety.
Yes.
Which is a bit of a shocker.
I mean, everything's a shocker because you know what? They drafted very well at receiver and they don't need to spend.
They're cheap at tight end. They're cheap at receiver.
Yeah. Offensive line, they're pretty cheap because they drafted well. And Jordan Love is going to be the main focus of this team. And you're looking at very cheap weapons on the outside. And they're going to be run like Jacobs is pretty much AJ Dillon and Aaron Jones combined into one. So they kind of just went that route. I really like this. Like, this is Jacobs is going to be a top 8 running back in fantasy this year.
What do you think he's worth in rookie picks this year? End of the first?
Yes, 100%. I think I'd give up. I'm actually doing a draft right now before landing spots, and I thought to myself, I know. I mean, we do it every year, and
you're sick.
I thought to myself, it's about 109, 110, when without landing spots, you're just like, big teardrop. Like, you're looking at guys like...
Are we talking like no Sean Moreno teardrop? Like a big fat
no,
one?
No,
like,
we're talking Franklin area. Like, he's still there.
I'd rather have Jacobs.
Yeah, so I'm 100% okay. Like, right now, if you're going to do it, because I think after this draft, we are talking about how deep this class is. it might not be as deep as we think. Like,
we do say that every year.
Every year. Yeah. I think,
like,
I
oh,
think,
this guy that we thought was going to go in the second went in the fourth. And
I mean, after Brian Thomas, I think we're going to be sitting there.
There's a lot of guys that are all similar in value.
That, and there's a lot of niche guys like Xavier Worthy. Like, he's a guy that's a speed guy that, you know, if he goes to the Chiefs, yeah, his value is going to shoot up, but is he going to produce? So, yeah, give me Jacobs. Knows? I think if I have 108, 109, I'm going Jacobs.
The bird in the hand, as they say.
Yes.
All right, let's move it on with these running backs. We all kind of saw this one coming. The scary man, the king. They lost a queen. They gained a king. Baltimore Ravens signed Derrick Henry. as their running back, yo, like, most rushing yards in the NFL over the last 8 years. Lamar's got the most rushing yards as a quarterback. For fantasy, look at all those Gus Edwards touchdowns. Who do you think's going to get them?
Yeah. And, I mean, this team is going to be so scary NFL-wise. Like, fantasy, it's going to be Derrick Henry, Lamar Jackson, Zay Flowers, I think, and Andrews and Logout. Yeah, like, they were even talking, like, Lamar, Patrick Ricard leading Derrick Henry, who is, Patrick Ricard is a massive
That's
human
like
himself.
600 pounds of flesh.
Yes. So, yikes. Like, I think if they had Derrick Henry against, who'd they play in the playoffs? Wasn't it the Chiefs?
Yeah.
I think if they had him against the Chiefs, they might have won. They needed that presence.
Well, they forgot to run the ball in that game, if you remember.
Yeah, they ran like four times, five times.
It was terrible.
And yeah, it makes me wonder where J.K. Dobbins is going to go, if anywhere at all.
He might not. He's the kind of guy that might not sign until training camp.
Yeah.
I mean, they want to see medicals on him. I know we saw some footage of him like dancing around and whatnot. Yeah, we'll see what happens there. But I like this fit for real football.
Oh,
and I dig it for fantasy, too. You know, Keaton Mitchell had that big ACL injury. I don't think he's going to be back in time. So it's going to be Justice Hill,
it's
Derrick
a perfect
Henry.
Pair, though. Like,
they'll
Keaton
draft
Mitchell,
somebody.
Keaton Mitchell is perfect to pair with Henry when he's healthy. Like
Thunder and Lightning.
Thunder and Lightning. That's perfect. And it preserves Henry for a couple more years until he easily falls apart. Maybe. I don't know. Who knows?
He's like this generation's Adrian Peterson. He might be good until age 33.
We saw the training videos, and it's like he's lifting himself, not flinching or shaking or anything.
Dude's the Terminator.
Yeah.
I've never been physically imposing people. I didn't actually meet Derrick Henry, but I was about 5 feet from him, and I'm 6'4", 240 pounds. He made Todd Gurley look small at this autograph show that I was at, and I was like, holy human. He is just a brick shithouse of a human being.
Yeah. And I mean, Danielle Hunter was mine. And Danielle Hunter is 6'6", 280.
Rocked
and
up. Like 3% body fat.
Danielle Hunter had like cut off shirt on. And I'm sitting there. I'm like, I can see the muscles inside of his muscles. Like that
his
should
muscles
happen.
Got muscles. Yeah. It's wild. All right. We talked about Swift, Henry, Jacobs, and Saquon. It keeps going, guys. And we talked about Aaron Jones as well. This one, I don't think anyone saw this one coming. The Tennessee Titans, everyone wanted Tajay Spears to be a thing. You know, we figured maybe they'll add a veteran, you know, like a mid-level guy, or they'll draft somebody. But they went and got Tony Pollard pretty early in free agency. I like, again, this is one of those moves, I don't like it for fantasy. Pollard had a down year for the Cowboys, could have been hurt most of the year. He disappointed because people were like, there was very smart people at the beginning of the year that Tony Pollard could finish as the RB1. That was being said in our space. Didn't happen. Pollard disappointed greatly. He could bounce back here in Tennessee. And I think that he needs that guy with him to flourish. Just like he had with Zeke. That's when Pollard was the best. When you give Tony Pollard 20 carries a game or 20 touches a game, that's not the best way to use him. I think they're going to use these two like the Cowboys used Zeke and Pollard.
Lightning and lightning.
So I like this move. I mean, I think Tennessee's got some work to do on the offensive line.
They brought in one of the best.
Quisenberry, right?
No, they brought in one of the best coaches. Bill Callahan is the offensive line coach who is a legend who could take nothing and make something. And the scheme itself will make this offensive line so much better. The rookie from last year,
Skoronski?
Yes, he should be healthy. I actually think Pollard is due. Like, I really like this signing just due to the scheme. We'll talk about a weapon they added. Mm-hmm. This offense pretty much was like
fun.
It could be
fun. It could go from suck to fun.
Yeah. And we're looking, like, they got an offensive coach, and this defense might not be great. So we're looking at catch up. They're going to need to pretty much play offense to play defense. Like, that's what they're going to have to do. They're going to have to score points. So I really like this for Tony Pollard. And I think
If Will Levis is this generation's Blake Bortles, I'm here for it.
If Will Levis is anything competent,
I'm here for it.
Will Levis has the arm talent, and he's got the weapons. So
he's got the Bengals OC coming in. Like,
he's got no excuse.
They did sign Mason Rudolph as a backup. Yay. Not really worried about that.
That's insurance, because Will Levis, if you've known Will Levis, he likes to get hurt because he puts himself in dumb situations when he runs the ball.
He's a bit of a knucklehead, but I enjoy watching him play because he's fun and he plays with passion.
Yeah.
So I do like that.
And I think he's Tennessee's starter for the next couple of years. So if you have a chance to get Will Levis, hey, this could be an opportunity where if he hits,
the Titans have told you at 7, they're going to draft an offensive lineman.
I think it's easily going to be one of those big tackles.
Yeah, and there should be at least 2 of them available at 7.
What if they went Bowers?
I mean,
but it is Cincinnati's system, and Cincinnati doesn't use the tight end.
And they have Chig, which I think they like. So
yeah,
we'll see. All right, next running back, Austin Ekeler signed a little bit later. We were all wondering, Ekeler and Henry were the last 2 big pieces to sign as free agents. And he went to the Washington Commanders on an inexpensive deal, 2 years, $11.5 million, not a lot of money, which was surprising. I mean, Ekeler, he played on the tag, 2 years ago? Last year?
Yeah, and he got offered by the Raiders, too, and actually went to the Commanders. So maybe they promised him a little more work.
Maybe. But I know Brian Robinson is a player that I think is way better than we thought he would be in the NFL.
He's a little more overrated.
Well, yeah, I mean, but he did look really good. And in the passing game, because he was a kid that didn't catch anything at Alabama out of the backfield, but he looked competent in the passing game. And I think that's one of the biggest flaws that we have in the fantasy community is like, just because they don't catch balls at college, we've seen A.J. Dillon catch passes and Jonathan Taylor, Brian Robinson. Like, these guys are pretty good pass catchers, whereas like, he doesn't have any hands. I'm like, well, no, this is something they can work on, just because in college it wasn't their offense. I mean, A.J. Dillon literally caught 8 balls at Boston College. He caught more than that in his rookie season, and I think he had like a 30 reception year in year 2. So for me, Brian Robinson, I'm not calling him a complete back by any means. Austin Ekeler, I personally think he's more on the dusty trail than anything else at this point. I know Tyler disagrees. We've had this debate before. Because
I think he's got a couple RB2 PPR, RB2. Weeks? No, years. I think what they need to do is put him in his role when he first started in the league. Like, he's
change
not
of pace.
Yeah, he's not made for the every down back anymore. Like, save up his energy, because when he is healthy and he gets those first couple touches, he's explosive. But then throughout the game, you're like, he's kind of slow. Like,
he's going to be running up against some very good defensive fronts in the NFC East.
Yes, but if they can get him out in space and they have a Jayden Daniels who kind of takes attention away,
we'll see.
We could have this work a little bit. So I do like Austin Ekeler, and I do think that when they signed him, they told him like, hey, we're still going to get you the ball. And if you look at that team and how they're building, a lot of olds. I mean, they've brought in a lot of olds, Bobby Wagner.
But they brought in a lot of good football players.
Yes,
and Zach Jeremy Ertz. Chin is not old. He's 25 years old.
Jeremy Chin. They brought in Wagner, though. They brought in Ekeler. They're bringing in older.
I think they're bringing in locker room guys to help change the culture there.
Yes. And
if I were to guess.
And they got rid of Antonio Gibson. And so I think it's going to be a split backfield and kind of the thunder and lightning aspect.
Kind of like Antonio Gibson's addition to the New England Patriots, because the thing that the Patriots have been lacking since James White retired
is James White
is a pass catching running back, because that has been vital to the New England Patriots success.
You called this.
We saw it with Kevin Falk, Shane Vereen, Danny Woodhead, Deion Lewis. They've always had – they tried to do it with Ty Montgomery because Bill got too cute and too full of himself, and he's like, oh, I could just do it with Ty Montgomery. Whatever. I wanted Antonio Gibson to go to New England, and yes, I did call it. Go me, points. And they got him on a pretty good deal, so I thought this was one of the best running back deals. He took in fit and money-wise for the team and for him. Like, he signed a two-year deal. He got, like, $4 million in year one, so he's going to make the roster. I think that New England is, you know, they've got Alex Van Pelt as the OC now, who's used to using a couple different running backs with Cleveland. So I like this for Antonio Gibson. I actually like it for Ramondre Stevenson, too. So I think both of those guys, I was buying Antonio Gibson during the season because his value was at an all-time low. I got him thrown into a deal, two deals, actually, for Antonio Gibson. And one of those leagues, I actually have Gibson and Ramondre on the same roster. So, hey, boom, handcuff, let's go. But I really like this move for Gibson. I think New England will use him more as he should have been used in Washington.
No, I agree.
So let's move on. We did have a trade as well, and we'll get to a couple of other moves. The Cincinnati backfield changed. At first, we heard Joe Mixon was going to be cut, and everyone's like, oh, and then, no, wait. Joe Mixon does not get cut.
We didn't say that. Nope.
No, we don't say that. Joe Mixon did not get cut. He got traded. The Houston Texans were a spot. Devin Singletary moves on to the New York Giants to replace Saquon Barkley. I don't mind that fit. I like Devin Singletary as a player. Not for fantasy, I don't think he's great, but I think he's a good NFL running back.
He's a small guy, which New York has shown they absolutely love people under 5'9". I mean, their whole entire receiving core is under 5'10". They're like, hey, Saquon, if you could shrink, we'll give you the biggest contract ever, but it's not happening.
Are they going to rename MetLife the chocolate factory over there, or what's going on?
Yes, 100%. But this is such a New York move lately. I mean, they brought in Isaiah McKenzie to add to the short people list.
So Singletary signs with the Giants to be their new starting running back. They don't really have much in that backfield. They will probably draft someone as well. And then Houston trades for Joe Mixon, which Houston, they re-signed Dalton Schultz. We know Tank's coming back. They've got Nico.
Damian Pierce, hands up. What?
He's a kick returner. Cool. But this is a great fit for Joe Mixon. The Texans line is good. We all know about Stroud. I think he went from a good situation with the Bengals to a good situation with the Texans. I don't think it changes his value really at all. No. I think he'll have the same type of performance for Houston that he did with Cincinnati. So what does Cincinnati do? They're like, okay, Joe Mixon, we're going to pay you $7.5 million a year. Let's sign Zach Moss for $4 million, who had a very good season for the Indianapolis Colts and filled in for Jonathan Taylor when he was out. So I like this signing from Cincinnati. They save some money, and maybe they give our guy Chase Brown a little bit more touches because, again, a thunder and lightning type of backfield. So I like this move for all teams involved, which is rare.
I mean, yeah, I'm not a big Zach Moss guy. I think it was more scheme because Sarkisian is – no, it's not Sarkisian. It's God, I always screw up the Indies coach name.
Daikin?
That's it. I always get him and Sark like completely botched. I think his running scheme definitely helped that team out a bunch last year, and we saw it with Zach Moss. The offensive line got better. They finally performed up to par. Cincinnati's offensive line is not the best. And
they just lost Jonah Williams.
Yes, they lost Jonah. But yeah, we'll see with Zach Moss. I think this is your window to sell Zach Moss. Like, if you've never had a window, this is it. And if you didn't have a window the first 4 weeks last year.
What do you think the price is for Zach Moss? Late second?
Yeah. I think Chase Brown, I think, is the back to own there. But
I agree. I mean, we'll see. He reminds me of a young Eckler.
This team could just throw the ball around. Like, this whole team could just be like, oh,
a lot of teams do throw the ball. It is the NFL.
A ton, I said. A ton. It'll be interesting. Joe Mixon, I do like the Houston landing spot. You got him. Like, he pretty much Mixon's career right now. We're looking at him probably worth more on your roster than he is on another team's roster. So maybe trading him isn't the best option. You could probably get a mid-second for him at the moment. So, I think right now, Mixon, if you have him, you're holding. So congrats. You thought he was going to get released. His value took a huge tumble. And then all of a sudden, like, nope, we're trading him to Houston, which is a primo landing spot for any running back in this offseason.
I think a lot of people with these older running backs with Aaron Jones and Joe Mixon were afraid like the Dalvin Cook effect was going to happen.
I thought about him today. I'm like, I wonder what he's doing, because he showed some burst in Baltimore, but what a fall.
Yep.
When they fall, they fall.
Yeah, running backs fall hard. And speaking of running backs that fall hard into the end zone, Gus Edwards signed a deal with the Los Angeles Chargers, not to replace Austin Eckler. It's pretty clear to me they're going to draft somebody.
Blake Corum.
pretty obvious.
It's so obvious.
I think he might be a Harbaugh guy, I've heard. I don't know.
Their second round pick, it's pretty much a lock. So if any team wants Corum, like, that's where they're going to have to take him.
Probably. So I can see that backfield being Corum and Edwards, and that, I'd be okay with that because I think they're complementary. Corum, he's not a burner. I think Corum is just a good football player. Harbaugh, we know Harbaugh. I'm going to surround myself with good football players. I could see Corum going there, but I like this. I like this for Gus Bus. It should be a decent offense. I mean, they're minus one receiver who got cut, which we'll talk about here momentarily, but I'm sure they're going to make some sort of move in that regard as well. And then the only other running back note I have on here is Nyheim Hines to Cleveland.
Why?
I don't know. I mean,
just stay away from jet skis.
Kick returner. I mean, maybe because Pierre Strong. I don't know. Weird move for Cleveland.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to have Ford. Maybe it's to show us that maybe Nick Chubb isn't going to be with the team.
No.
Come on, Jerome.
Maybe they're sitting there like, hey, Nick Chubb, you want a teammate that had a similar knee injury that he did on a jet ski instead of on the field? Here, let's bring him in.
You guys can,
Or maybe Nick Chubb was like, hey, I did rehab with this guy. Can we just bring him in? He needs some money.
Yeah, maybe. the most musical chairs maybe we'll ever see at the running back
position
in a free agency period. Just absolutely wild that none of these big names re-signed or stayed with their teams.
It was nice to see the running backs get the attention they needed.
And they got paid pretty decently.
And I think it was due to the rookie class. And
Cheeks.
I think we needed it, though, because the running back kind of had just this drought. Nobody wanted him. It seemed like the NFL was getting rid of him. And now we're seeing kind of a renaissance. And hopefully it stays that way because the running backs do need to come back. And
we're going to see a lot of these guys age out in a year or two. So
yes, but I do think the running back position as a whole, we will see in the next 5 years become bigger.
I will tell you this. Part of my strategy in this draft season is going to be if any of these teams, Houston, Green Bay, Minnesota, any of these teams draft a prospect that I like anywhere from round like 3 to 5, most people are going to be like, oh, well, Josh Jacobs is there or whatever. And it's going to impact their value negatively. I'm going to go after those guys because that's what taxi squads are for. So if there's a player that I really like, I'm going to go after them and just stash them on my taxi because Josh Jacobs in a year or two may not be in Green Bay. We know Aaron Jones might not be there after 1 year in Minnesota. Joe Mixon in Houston. Like all these guys, I mean, some guys that signed multiple, like Saquon's going to be there. Swift is going to be there. Even Derrick Henry is on a 2-year deal. If the Ravens draft someone that I like, say they draft Braylon Allen or something, like, and people are like, ooh, bad landing spot, and I can get them at a discount, I'm taking them.
Yeah. And I'm in that draft right now before landing spots, and people are terrified of their running backs due to the free agent. And like Blake Corum, I think, went like 205, 206. And maybe when he's drafted, it'll be more 202. But I mean, right now, people are terrified to take running backs due to what we saw in the free agent market.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's kind of where I'm pivoting, and I'm actually going to target running backs if they slide because of this news. So, I think that's it's always good to try to stay one step ahead. And hopefully it works, but that's kind of my strategy. So there's some insider tips in trading with Doug. All right, let's get on to the wide receiver position. Some movement here, not as much as the running backs, but some big re-signings. Mike Evans, we talked about it earlier, re-signed with Tampa Bay for his 2-year, $52 million deal. Michael Pittman signed a 3-year deal with Indianapolis. I think we all knew that Michael Pittman was going to stay there long-term. They franchised him at first. They worked out a long-term deal. I don't think it changes anything for Michael Pittman. I love Pittman. He's one of my favorite receivers in the league to watch play. You know, it'll be interesting with a full season of Anthony Richardson. If Richardson goes down, but now they got Joe Flacco, so that could be even better for Pittman. Who knows?
Yeah.
We saw what Flacco did for Cleveland's receivers down the stretch, especially their number one receiver in Amari Cooper. Yeah. T. Higgins was franchised by the Cincinnati Bengals. He requested a trade. There hasn't been a lot of news on that, but we just saw probably the second to last big name signed today. Marquise Brown's still a free agent. So that could motivate some teams, especially teams like New England, who still has like $60 million in cap space available, to maybe make a deal for T. Higgins and try to pay him. I think the market for wide receiver, we'll talk about it in a minute, just changed a little bit.
I think it's a lot thanks to the rookie class is why we've seen the receivers kind of slow out of the gate.
Yes. Yeah, because we all know that this receiver class is a good like 15, 20 guys that are draftable in your rookie drafts for sure.
Yeah.
And a lot of interesting prospects. So we had T. Higgins request a trade, and then we had some trades. The first trade of the offseason happened last week or so, and it was Jerry Jeudy, your favorite, getting traded to Cleveland of all spots. This pretty much nuked Cedric Tillman's career.
I wouldn't say that.
Not his career. Tillman was bad last year. I was looking at some metrics and I was like, dude, he's not good. I still have hope though. I still have him rostered in a couple of leagues. That's what taxi squads are for.
You know who I don't have for? The only hope I have for Jeudy is that he learns from Amari Cooper, because Jeudy said the reason why he went to Alabama was Amari Cooper. He modeled his game after Cooper, which if you notice around the NFL, a lot of people model their game after Amari Cooper because he's an elite route runner.
He is very good.
Jeudy, if he's going to happen.
He was labeled as an elite route runner, but we haven't necessarily seen it in the NFL level.
He has very questionable hands, which I think we've come to realize, like, hey, he has some really weird drops. And
he's got really weird legs.
He's got a little attitude problem. And I think if anything is going to happen,
Moody Jeudy over there.
It's here. It's here. And it's with Cooper as a mentor. And Elijah Moore, too.
Yeah.
Like, I think this receiver core is three deep. And you got Tillman as a replacement if anybody gets hurt.
David Bell.
But I do think the thing is that people aren't really seeing here is it's Amari Cooper. Then it's David Njoku.
Yes.
Then it's Moore or Jeudy. So I think right now, if you have Jeudy, if you can get out for a mid to early second, go for it. Yeah. I think now's the time, because they only gave up a fifth and a sixth.
No, they didn't give up a lot.
That's nothing.
I think this move for Cleveland is more like, all right, we have Amari Cooper. He's getting up there in age for 1 year. Let's bring in Jeudy and see if he can be the replacement for Cooper long term.
I agree.
Cooper's owed a shit ton of money.
I think he'll restructure to stay in Cleveland.
He could. But, I mean, he's going to be in, what, age 31?
I think he's only 29 right now, because he came in at, like, 14.
That is true. Yeah. I saw his textbooks. He had his backpack on the field while he was catching passes. Was
colored pencils just went everywhere because he left it open. It was a mess.
Lego sets in the locker room. Just absolutely bonkers.
He's such a messy kid. He had applesauce everywhere.
He's wearing a bib on the field. It was strange. and then we did have another trade. We talked about it a little bit on the top. It was Deontay Johnson for Deontay Jackson, all the Antes and the A's. Deontay going to Carolina, which if you were smart enough and listened to a lot of smart people and traded for Bryce Young because his value was in the toilet, I think that you're probably feeling pretty good, because they've added some offensive linemen, which admittedly they probably overpaid for. Yes. Hey, you know what? Who wants to play in Carolina, honestly? It's like the Patriots.
Nobody.
They're going to have to overpay to get good players. So they overpay, yada, yada, yada. You know, the thing is Bryce Young going to be able to see over these offensive linemen? I don't know. But, you know, now you look at a receiving core with Deontay Johnson, a very good separator, brings a different dynamic, because Adam Thielen started off hot for the first 8 weeks and then kind of just, you know, did his age 33-year-old thing. Tight end, they really still don't have an answer. They've got Jonathan Mingo, who they drafted in the second round. I would expect them to add some more weapons in the draft.
I think I have a feeling they really want to push for T. But
I would love that.
But, I mean, they have 2 second rounders now, thanks to Brian Burns getting traded, you know, which they could have gotten 2 firsts for 2 years ago.
From the Rams, yeah.
Yeah, from the Rams. And they're like, no, thank you. We're good.
We got Baker Mayfield at quarterback. We're good.
this the Panthers are now the laughing stock in the NFL, and
they really are.
Your only hope is to be like, hey, the Texans were in this position a year ago.
Yeah. Imagine so, if they didn't trade the 101 and
they had Caleb, they had DJ Moore still.
Yeah. McCaffrey.
I mean, they should have
been able to pay everyone, but
they
whatever,
should have gotten a first for McCaffrey. That's the real thing. They got everything but a first. They got a second, a third, and a fourth.
Yeah, that's the way the running back market was then. But
and then they easily should have gotten a first for Burns, despite his contract.
25-year-old elite pass rusher. Like,
the issue
yeah.
was the Giants had an early pick. They're not going to give up the seventh pick or the sixth pick,
yeah,
because they had to pay him a boat ton. So
yeah,
they were in a tough spot. But a year ago, 2 years ago, they should have traded him if they would have. I mean, hindsight's 20/20. We can always laugh at teams and be
always
like, "Oh,
is.
This is a joke." But I mean, Panthers fans, you really got to hope that Bryce Young shows something this year. Otherwise, I think we're looking at a Darnold Rosen type situation where,
I mean, his numbers were better than Trevor Lawrence's rookie year.
I mean, Trevor Lawrence had the worst NFL coach, I think, in NFL history, who literally didn't even fly with his team.
I mean, and the Panthers
home.
Had Frank Reich, who was,
I mean, Frank was mentally bad. Frank Urban Meyer
was
just
mentally bad.
Or I think Frank was just checked
just
out. He was yeah. already checked out. And I think
maybe
for Urban Meyer, it was just he checked
no,
out.
Meyer was terrible.
Checked yeah. out of the bar he was at.
Yeah. but I do like that trade for the Carolina Panthers.
He's going to be a target hog.
Yeah. We talked a little bit about Darnell Mooney on the top. I think that's a good fit for Atlanta's offense, especially with Kirk.
I really like it.
Yeah. Tyler Lockett restructured his deal. We were all hoping that Tyler Lockett would be a cap casualty. He restructured. He'll be there at least for another year or two. So with JSN, I mean, I think people aren't necessarily panic selling in the streets.
Oh, they are.
I still think JSN could be second on the team in targets. But I get it. It's scary because Tyler Lockett has been such
team.
Tyler Lockett has been such a fixed member of that receiving core. So are you going out and trying to acquire JSN right now?
Yes.
Okay.
Because
as you should. I mean, the value's down.
It's not only that. It's I'm sitting here thinking to myself, I thought he was the best receiver in the class last year. Yes. You know, people are like, well, the metrics show from last year he's not very good, and his stats accumulated, and all this, and so he's not in great company. It's like, okay, but he had two elite receivers ahead of him.
He's also operating as the third receiver.
Geno Smith had a absolutely trash year.
He regressed, yeah.
And when JSN didn't have that massive cast on his wrist, he showed promise. Like, mm-hmm. people forget. 6 weeks out of the year, he had a cast on his arm and he tried to play through. Like, we're sitting here acting like, oh, nothing's happening. Like, JSN played through a massive hand injury. And I mean, it takes time to recover from these. JSN is a good player. Do we hype up these guys because we have expectations and like, oh, they don't produce like Jamar Chase or Justin Jefferson? They're gone. Like, Zay Flowers, we're all hyping up. But look at this team now. Would you rather have JSN or Zay Flowers? And people are going to take Flowers 100 out of 100 times.
They will, yeah.
But, I mean, Tyler Lockett's been relatively healthy, but he's 32.
Yeah.
DK Metcalf, been healthy.
Yeah, he hasn't missed much time at all.
But, I mean, he's been known to have some soft tissue issues early on in his career. So, I mean, if we're going to bank on Tyler Lockett being there the whole season, I think we're kind of joking with ourselves. JSN's going to get play. My only problem is this is a run-first team. I mean, we have
Well, it used to be. Petey Sunshine ain't there anymore.
But we're taking the Baltimore system. We're talking the Baltimore system.
That's
and bringing
fair.
It. That's why I think Justin Fields should go to Seattle. If we're talking a team Justin Fields should go to, Seattle is the best spot for him.
That would make a lot of sense because I don't think Geno's the long-term answer. I think Seattle knows this.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if Seattle goes after a quarterback, say Michael Penix. Obviously he went to college in Washington, like, oh, you're a narrative streak. Could happen. I think they're going to be drafting a quarterback. I don't think it's going to be the long-term answer there because when you draft a quarterback in the second or third round, sometimes they fall in your lap like a Dak or a Russ or even a Jalen Hurts in the second. But it doesn't happen very often.
I think my favorite spot is Seattle because he doesn't need to start right away.
There already.
Yep, he doesn't, and he knows JSN. He's played with him, so
true.
I think it's a perfect spot because I don't think Geno finishes the year. Because I personally don't think Geno's.
Yeah, I mean he had to pretty much restructure for them to bring him back. So
yep.
Yeah. All right. A couple other receiver informations. Gabe Davis to Jacksonville.
Okay. Cool. You know what?
Cool.
I like it. I don't care. I think it's something.
You get me pumped. I think it's something.
He's a wide receiver. Like I think he's a wide receiver four for your fantasy team. But he will
I'm okay with that.
What did I say before any free agent started? I said Jacksonville's going to look at Gabe Davis and see Marvin Jones, who they absolutely adored. They loved Marvin Jones in Jacksonville. And you know what happened? Marvin Jones had some significant fantasy seasons when he was healthy.
He
so Gabe Davis, I think people are sleeping on him too much. I think if you can get him for a late second in draft, I think you should pull the trigger because he will be valuable.
I think he's one of those players that people fell in love with, and then he kind of spit in your eye, and people are like, "I hate you."
Oh, 100%. People aren't massive fans of him, but in best ball, he's going to be awesome.
I mean, yeah. So he in essence replaces Calvin Ridley because Calvin Ridley he had interest from the Patriots, he had interest from Jacksonville, but they would have had to give up a second if they re-signed him yesterday, a third if they re-signed him today after 4 o'clock. He shocked the world. Bet on himself, if you will, and went to the Tennessee Titans, which I don't think we saw coming.
No.
This is an interesting move. DeAndre Hopkins isn't going anywhere. Now you've got Calvin Ridley. You still have the first-round pick former Treylon Burks. Tyler, if they put Treylon Burks big slot with Chig, Pollard, Spears, we talked about Levis, this could be one of those offenses. We see it every year. This is usually an offense that is like not a lot of fun, and then they turn around and they're fun to watch. To me, it's Tennessee. It has to be, right?
I think Hopkins is going to be the Fitzgerald slot player. He's going to be in the slot a little more.
He can move all these guys around, I feel, pretty
all of them
seamlessly.
Like, Ridley plays everywhere. Burks plays mainly on the outside, but they can move him around. And Hopkins, I think, with age, but they can still put him on the outside, and he can beat with his strength and savviness in his routes.
Savvy. Yeah.
But, this offense is going to be fun. And Ridley, we didn't expect it.
$50 million guaranteed, the second most in the NFL.
Isn't it funny how we, like, 3 days ago we saw Tennessee's offense and we're like, ugh, gross.
Yeah. Like, and now we're
and
like,
then all of a sudden, like,
it's like that meme with the girl. She's like, ugh. And then she's like,
oh. But, like, I think 100%. I think once Ridley went there, we all were like, because, like, me personally, I'm like, okay, I liked Will Levis, but do I like him with these weapons? I do still like Burks, and I don't think he's gotten a fair shot. But then I'm like,
what would it take to acquire Treylon Burks right now? Third?
A third?
I may take a shot on that.
I've done it a couple of times. It's fun. You should get it. You should do it. It's like crystal meth.
Get you some Burks, man.
It's like crystal meth, man. No.
Keep coming back, hoping it's going to hit harder.
I think this is just good news for Will Levis. I mean, they're setting him up for success.
They really are. They're building around him a quarterback on a rookie deal, a second-round rookie deal, mind you. So he won't have a fifth-year option, but that's fine. Usually figure out what you have by year two or three.
Yeah.
I think this could be a very fun. It's not going to be the Vrabel, the classic Derrick Henry led offense. I think they're going to open it up a little bit and play with a little bit more octane, which will be a lot of fun. So I like that. Some other wide receiver news. Mike Williams was released, Big Mike Williams, as he's known, by the Los Angeles Chargers. Signed that massive deal last year. They saved a bunch of money by letting him go.
Like 30 mil.
Yeah, there's rumors that, you know, Keenan Allen could get traded. I don't think they blow it up like that, but we'll see what happens.
If they trade Allen, you could almost book it for neighbors being the fifth pick.
Oh, 100%. They're going to have to replace that production somewhere. I don't think they're going to do it in a tight end at Bowers. I think it would be neighbors because, like, again, he's 1B to Marv's 1A, in my opinion. So
it's offensive line or neighbors for F5 or trade back. Yeah, I mean, have you seen the rumors of Herbert getting traded? I started laughing. The whole reason why Harbaugh took the job is because he came out. He literally said Herbert is the best quarterback in the NFL that he would leave then at, like, leave college for. He said
and he
that,
did. Yep.
And he did, and he went there for Herbert.
People just like to talk.
That's what would have Herbert, and then they could take JJ McCarthy.
Ugh. He's a guy. So Mike Williams was released today. Hunter Renfro was also released, future Patriot.
Yes. It's finally happening.
I mean, Hunter Renfro made the Pro Bowl 2 years ago and had 100 catches. You can't tell me he's dust. I know he's a little bit older, but
He just looks older. He's like 27.
He looks like my tax guy. I need to go visit him.
Your tax guy looks younger.
It's true. Hunter Renfro released. I'm sure he'll pick up a job here soon. Devontae Parker got released and then immediately signed with the Philadelphia Eagles. Why? Devontae Parker is garbage.
You should have brought Julio back. He did more.
I don't understand this. Why do guys like Devontae Parker? They're like, ooh, Devontae Parker released? Let's pick him up real quick.
Because he sells
Quez Watkins.
He sells training camp tickets, man. Training camp highlights.
He is dust. Devin Duvernay to Jacksonville. Cool. He's more of a kick returner slot guy. And then Kendrick Bourne, I like the signing. Kendrick Bourne re-signed with the New England Patriots. We all know that there's not a lot of pass catchers in that room. It's Pop Douglas. Juju is still there. There was rumors they were trying to trade him. Good luck with that.
Wow.
good luck. But I did like Kendrick Bourne. He was their best pass catcher when he was healthy last year. I know he's a little bit older, but he signed for a relatively not a huge deal.
And he doesn't have Bill up his ass all the time because that was the biggest
Bourne
thing.
Bourne was in the doghouse.
All the time.
Yeah. Freaking Bill. Anywho. So that wraps us up at receiver. Lots of information there. And then at tight end, I'm just going to go through these one at a time, and you can give me your synopsis at the end here. Noah Fant, one of the bigger names in free agency. We were hoping you would sign somewhere better, but the Seahawks did see Colby Parkinson and a Will Disley walk. So Noah Fant signed a 2-year, $20 million deal, so significant money.
P.S. It's a Ravens system. Who do the Ravens have that they use all the time? Or I should say two of them, Mark Andrews and Isaiah Likely. They're going to use Fant more than we've seen Pete use Fant. So this is good.
I hope to God. So Noah Fant re-signed 2-year deal for $20 million. Jonnu Smith let go by the Falcons. He was signed relatively affordable by Miami, who typically didn't use their tight end at all. I actually like this fit quite a bit because, I mean, it was Durham Smythe and log out. They didn't have anybody of any kind of pass catching threat at the tight end position. So I like Jonnu to Miami. Hunter Henry re-signed before free agency with New England. I think he's a solid player. Cool. Not bad.
Don't worry. They brought the same guy in. A poor man.
They signed Austin Hooper. Yawn.
What'd I tell you, Doug, when you told me this?
Is he still in the league?
He's still in the NFL.
I still remember that 70-yard catch and run when he was the Falcons. It took 7 hours.
It took the whole first quarter because it was the second play of the game.
Made Jason Witten look fast.
Yes.
Dad runner extraordinaire, Austin Hooper, now a New England Patriot.
I think that was Matt Ryan's rookie year.
It might have been. Irv Smith to Kansas City.
Great. He's tight end three.
Yeah, I think he's
tight end three. Yeah.
He's going to be behind Noah Gray. Whatever.
He's going to have a game or two where he scores and people are going to be like, there it is. It's happening.
Sell immediately is what I'm going to say. Gerald Everett signed with the Chicago Bears. A little bit of a surprise. They'll probably run some 12 personnel there with Cole Kmet.
Go buy yourself Kmet if you get any part of a discount because he's always discounted.
Kmet's good, man.
Yeah.
Kmet is very good. Zach Ertz signed with Washington after they let go of Logan Thomas. Cool. Mike Gesicki to Cincinnati. Cincinnati doesn't use their friggin' tight ends.
Exactly.
For fantasy relevancy,
he's going to have.
If they draft Brock Bowers, I'll be interested because that means they're going to kind of shift.
Yeah.
But Mike Gesicki on a relatively inexpensive veteran deal, nah.
If they trade Higgins and draft Bowers or trade Higgins and don't do too much at that receiver position, then Gesicki gets a little.
They got Andre Ishavash.
Yeah, and Chris Jones.
Charlie Jones?
Yeah, same thing. Chris Charlie Jones.
Chris Charlie?
Chris Charlie Jones.
Chris Jones got paid. And then Will Disley, like we said, went to the Chargers to maybe replace Gerald Everett. He's more of a blocking tight end. So the Chargers, I mean, they still have Donald Parham as well. So they could be in the market for like a Jatavion Sanders, maybe. I don't think they're going to go Bowers at 5.
No.
Or maybe they go with that super athletic Theo Johnson from Penn State. Or
I could see
Jaheim Bell from Florida State.
I could see them just going the cheap route. And maybe they get like 4 touchdowns combined. But me personally, I think, the tight end position, we saw Harbaugh. He likes those blocking tight ends. Somebody who can play. Yep. Will Disley. And Will Disley could have 5 touchdowns, but he's going to have like 400 yards. And you're going to be like, can't start him.
And Kobe Parkinson, interesting, got a pretty decent bag from the Rams. We all know Tyler Higbee tore his ACL late in the season. I like Davis Allen, the rookie from Clemson. That's there last year. Parkinson, big target. He could be probably available in a ton of dynasty leagues. If you're in a tight end premium league and Parkinson's available and you got a roster spart, you know, it took an hour and 20 minutes for me to really have a brain fart.
We're not strong. That's we knew not this bad. Was going to be a long episode. We prepared.
So Kobe Parkinson, to me, I think is intriguing. I would stash him on a roster if you have space in some of those deeper leagues.
The Rams, Tyler, the Rams beefed up their offensive line. Like that Rams was their main focus.
I will tell you what, one of the best stories in the NFL in the last couple of years is the Rams going from an absolute paper mache offensive line to being one of the best units in the league after Whitworth retired, which is wild to me.
Kyron.
So kudos to them for rebuilding it. And also, guess who won in free agency? Kyron Williams.
Yeah. They didn't bring anybody in.
Nobody. They're like, yeah, we got Ronnie Rivers and Zach Evans. We're good.
I think Zach Evans is a just throw-in type guy that you should go after.
I almost cut him on a roster that I had to reduce, and then I remembered you saying something about Zach Evans, and I'm like, he lives one more day.
He
made the cut. I also have Kyron Williams in that league, so yeah. It makes sense.
Kyron is going to be a top 5 running back for the next 2 years, and then he could literally just be evaporated from the planet.
Yep, it could happen. It could definitely happen. So, Tyler, you got anything else before we get on out of here?
No, I'm just interested in seeing where Hollywood signs. He's kind of the last big
piece.
Any
more trades that might happen?
And, yeah, pretty much Howell. I do think he gets dealt. It's just interesting to see where. Is it going to be New York, even though they brought Drew Locke? So I don't think it's going to be him. Be New York, but it'll be interesting to see where Howell goes. Fields, I do think he gets
Howell
moved
to New England, and they draft Harrison at 3.
I mean, all the rumors right now are New England didn't sign Ridley, so they want to make a splash in the draft.
Yeah.
So we could legit see Harrison go to New England. Like, that is legit possibility now, which, in my opinion, might make Arizona move down.
Unless they go line.
Yeah, I think Arizona will go neighbors. They need to get Kyler
they
help.
They need to do something, yeah.
I think they're locked in at
receiver. Resigning Hollywood's not going to, like, do it.
No.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So
they trade down and get Rome, maybe. Who knows?
I mean, we're all sitting here thinking to ourselves, oh, this is the spike. No, there's going to be a lot more deals coming, a lot more movement, a lot more teams need to get more cap-friendly to sign these rookies coming in. Like the Chargers, they have a lot more tinkering they got to do to get this cap.
Yeah, they just
situation.
Got under today. So
yep, and I mean they're literally signing players for pennies. So
yeah,
they
Joey Bosa might get moved still.
Yeah, Bosa might get moved. Mac definitely is staying. Yep, he restructured. Yeah. Keenan Allen, he might restructure, but he could be on the move. He could be a Patriot.
Chief.
So yeah, I mean they're not trading in their division. Like I hate when people say that. Like, oh, they could be like, no. That's not happening. Like, Cincinnati ain't trading Higgins to Kansas City. They're rivals now.
I mean, it happens from time to time.
It does. But, like, Kansas City would have to get their first and something
else. Or LeJarius Sneed.
A first and Sneed.
Oh, God, no. I wouldn't do that.
But it'll be interesting. I think we still got some more movement that will happen. And my biggest thing is Fields, Howell, and Hollywood. See what happens.
Yep. So we'll keep you updated on all the news next week when we come back. We usually record on Tuesdays, so I think we'll be back next Tuesday, regularly scheduled programming.
Doing what?
What are we doing next Tuesday?
We are doing rookie quarterbacks. We are starting our rookie scouting.
Ooh, rookie quarterbacks. I should know that. We good host. Yay. Go me. Yeah, we'll start rookie quarterbacks next week. That is the hot topic. We've seen some players rise, some players fall. We're going to talk all about it here on the Dynasty Happy Hour next week. But for now, and we'll bring you all other signings and news and all that jazz as we normally do. Fun episode, fun free agency period, lots of moving pieces, big shell game. So for me and for Tyler, we'll see you next week on the Dynasty Happy Hour.